everybody. It's General Maddox here, back again for another podcast for Real News Australia. This is General Knowledge. Make sure you jump on to realnewsaustralia.com, folks. That's the website there with a lot of articles that I put up. I also share a lot of articles from around the world in Australia. And really just trying to break the cycle of propaganda as we're fully forced into seeing a major spin in the corporate-owned mainstream media, which purely is a major stream of propaganda. So we're here to try and break that cycle of propaganda, show you some real news and get you trying to get you thinking for yourselves. Well, what's been happening lately? Had a few articles put up since the last podcast, nearly a month ago, actually. Apologies for the slackness there, folks, but we all get busy. We all have busy lives. But anyway, I'll push through a few of these ones here and let you know what's been going on in case you haven't been on the website lately. One of the main ones I put up not too long ago, which was called The Psychological State of the State. Now, that one was really a bit of a breakdown and a comparison, I guess you would call it. Let's go into it now. Here we go. The Societal Stockholm Syndrome. The psychopathic nature of the nanny state came to nurture our state of mind. Now, for those folks who haven't really heard of the Stockholm Syndrome before, maybe you have heard of it, but you don't really know what it is or what it's about. Back in 1973, there was a couple of guys who went and robbed the, I think it was a Credit Suisse bank, I could be wrong there, but it was a bank in Sweden, in Stockholm, Sweden. They held bank employees and I think a few customers hostage inside the bank vault. Yeah, they had like dynamite strapped to them and all that sort of stuff. Pretty traumatic experience, obviously. Now, after that ordeal, psychologists coined that term Stockholm Syndrome because what actually happened was the folks that were being held hostage actually built a rapport with their captors and actually began to you know, they felt for their cause. They began to like them. They became friends. Even going as far as after the whole ordeal, they actually set up a foundation to help pay for the legal costs of their captors. So it was pretty amazing, yeah, the type of psychological, and I don't even think it was really intentional. It's more of a mechanism for self-preservation, that it's a subliminal thing. Like you don't even subconscious, I should say. The people tend to not really know that's actually happening, but they have this sort of thing in their brain that ticks over and says, well, in order to survive, I'm going to need to get on the good side of these guys. So what happens is, you know, the captors were treating them nice in some regards and giving them food and letting them go to the toilet when they needed to, that sort of thing. And they were, you know, forgiving them for transgressions, like maybe they were trying to escape, but they didn't hurt them or harm them. Maybe they just talked to them and told them, you know, you'll get set free, just, you know, listen to us and do what we say and you'll be okay. And the people then began to become, you know, they built this rapport with their captors. And again, then they even went as far as defending them as well. So when the police actually came to set them free, they were upset and they didn't want the police there. Were telling the police to go away. You know, they didn't want to be taken away from that actual situation, which is just phenomenal. But this is what happens when you go through this sort of experience. It's very traumatic. Now, what we did in this article, written by Tim McKay and myself, we went through and we sort of took the Stockholm Syndrome and linked it to a societal sort of thing that's happening. So what really goes on in the world, you know, in terms of even the election that's happened not too long ago here in Australia, you know, you look at people, you talk to people and they really defend just tooth and nail the type of political parties that they want to vote for. You know, they don't really want to question it. They just go along with it. And it really sort of, it got to me, like, why are they doing this? You know, why are they so close-minded to what's going on? And it's because they've come to sort of agree with the way that they've been treated. They, you know, they get little bits of handouts here and there. Maybe it's welfare or something. And they think that that's a nice thing. It doesn't really matter that they're being held captive, really, on a societal basis by this particular government and the system in general, really. And people will defend that system. It blows me away, really. So it's like the whole society is actually going through a type of Stockholm Syndrome. So we wrote an article about that. And a good couple of good quotes. You know, the best slave is one who thinks he is free. I think that sort of rings true of what happens right now across society in general as well. We're all slaves to the system, whether you like it or agree with it or not, we are. What else have we got going on here? Oh yeah, I sort of ended the article in this matter here. I'll just read this out to you folks. Now it's got here, it's hard to try and wake someone up who is so dependent on the very system that has enslaved them. But there is hope. A global alternative media network is growing exponentially, which Real News Australia is a part of, folks. Born out of the need to resist, and it is gaining momentum as it continually unplugs people from the system and wakes them up from their learned helplessness. The only true way to break free of this SSS, which is the societal Stockholm syndrome, is to resist. The very act, nay, even the thought of resisting, is in essence resistance itself, because this captive society that has been created around us like a virtual prison is fundamentally a mental prison, and any act of resistance has to begin in your mind. So yeah, let that one sink in, folks. It's pretty important. I guess that's one of the real reasons why I even started this website. I just started as a blog because I wanted to sort of put my thoughts up and put them out there and write a few things and see what people thought about it, share them around, that sort of thing. But it was really just and it's an act of resisting. You know, I wanted to sort of put some news out there that was unbiased. I wanted to sort of cut through the matrix, like what Alan Watt says. Good podcast as well, folks. Look up Alan Watt, Cutting Through the Matrix. But anyway, that's exactly what I wanted to do, was to cut through that matrix and that whole propaganda that is pushed on us and give people an alternative to news in Australia. Obviously, I can't work at it full time. If I did, it would be probably much bigger than what it is now, but it's getting there. I only work on it part-time, unfortunately, folks, but that's just how the world is at the moment. We all have to have a full-time job, otherwise, you know, what do you do? What do you do for cash? Can't pay your bills, you're gone. That's just how it is at the moment, anyway. What else have we got? Here we go. Another one I put up just recently as well. Event Horizon. This one's pretty interesting. Now, this is one I sort of compiled. I was reading a lot of articles and obviously independent media articles from around the world, different websites, and they all have little tidbits of information, and I was sort of gathering them and keeping them handy and trying to put them all together. It's a giant puzzle what's really going on right now, and I don't know what the end, the final picture is going to look like, and what I'm afraid of is that once we do see what the final picture looks like, it's going to be too late. So I'm sort of put this together so people can have a look and see that there is something on the horizon, there is an event coming. What it is, I don't know. We can all speculate. I hope I'm wrong, to be honest. I hope this is just, you know, maybe preparation for... I don't even know what to say about that, really, to be honest, folks. But let's go through this one. Pretty interesting stuff. Okay, I'll just read this out as it is verbatim, folks. There's definitely something in the air. Whatever it is, it's close. Big spending before the shutdown. That's what the government shutdown, of course, in America at the moment. Training of foreign peacekeepers on U.S. soil, which apparently happens every now and again, but this is quite a large scale. Planned drills for major events and disasters. Debt ceiling being reached. Stockpiling of emergency food and supplies. And that's just a sample. Ask yourself, does a government normally go through all of this on a whim? Really all at the same time as well. Below is an example of actions that have been carried out or are in the pipeworks by the US government. Take a look and put the pieces of the puzzle together for yourself. It appears that in the not-too-distant future, there is an event on the horizon. Now, these are the bullet points, folks. I'll just go through these ones for you. There are links within these bullet points as well to other sources, so you can check those out yourself. Or you can even just use Start Page and search for them as well. You'll see what I'm talking about. All right, here we go. Forced home inspections will be implemented sometime in 2013 under Obamacare. FEMA, the Federal Emergency Management Agency, purchase orders of over $14.2 million for MREs, which are meals ready to eat, and heater meals, to be delivered to FEMA Region 3. Now, I don't know if you're aware, folks, but the Federal Emergency Management Agency over in the US has divided up America into particular regions. They're basically groups of states, which they will determine them to be easier to handle in times of emergency, so they can take control of particular regions. So those are all to be delivered to FEMA Region 3 which I believe is Washington, D.C. We've got West Virginia, Virginia. There's a few other ones there as well, but it's around that type of area of the states. All there to be delivered by October 1st, which so that's been and gone. FEMA purchase orders for 22 million pouches of emergency water to be delivered to Region 3 by October 1st. So they've got food and water coming. FEMA purchase orders for $13.6 million for MREs and heater meals to be delivered to Austin, Texas by October 1st. 9-week training course for UN peacekeepers in CONUS, which is the contiguous United States, which refers to the 48 adjoining US states on the continent of North America that are south of Canada and north of Mexico, plus the District of Columbia. Because, folks, the DC, Washington, DC, is not a state. Keep that in mind. So they've got UN peacekeepers to learn urban warfare, interesting, English, and US weapons systems beginning 4th week of July for 386,000 troops, which is to be completed by October 1st. So you have 386,000. That's a lot of troops, folks. 386,000 troops, foreign troops, to be trained in urban warfare, English, and US weapon systems. Okay, I'm not going to say any more about that. You can put that one together yourself. $11 million in antibiotics to be delivered to FEMA Region 3 by October 1st, ordered by the CDC, which is the Centers for Disease Control. The World Health Organization held a second emergency meeting in its entire history to discuss the MERS coronavirus. They determined that a vaccine must be in place by October 1st. 2,800 MRAPs, which are the mine-resistant ambush-protected vehicles, they're to be delivered to DHS by October 1st. No leave will be allowed for U.S. military from September 28th through November 5th. NORTHCOM, which is the United States Northern Command, yearly training for civil unrest was suspended until September 27th, and to be performed in the Northeast coastal areas. The date for the release of the QE3 report was moved to October 16th. That's coming up in about 3 days. All DHS agents must qualify with sidearm, shotgun, and AR-15 assault rifle 15 by September 28th. No mention of yearly less lethal qualifications. Sporadic testing of GPS and communications satellites is coordinated for the first time with a testing date of September 29th. Just on that one too, Dutch Since, who has a Facebook page, a blog, I think he's got a website as well. Very switched on guy. Follows a lot of weather stuff and a few other anomalies that happens around the place, especially false flag attacks, that sort of thing too. Very good researcher. Dutch has a while ago, and I checked it out, he posted a little, what was it? It was a snippet, like a radio transmission that someone else had put up online. And what it was quite interesting. It was sort of, it was like a beacon, like a testing beacon on an odd frequency that couldn't be determined. It was an unknown frequency. Well, they know the frequency, but they don't know the origin of it, of this transmission. And it was something like you're testing, like, Bravo, Bravo, testing, come back, Bravo 3, or something like that. And it repeated for an entire day, and that was all it was. It was a recording. So, I don't know, I just found that very interesting as well. A bit odd. Moving on, POTUS, President of the United States, mandates to FEMA and DHS concerning support for metropolitan communities dealing with the extreme climate change must be complete by October 1st. These mandates were issued during the last 3 weeks. Over 300 school systems in the US have determined they need 3-day kits for each school and 3-day kits for each student to take with them. Interesting. All deliveries are scheduled for the month of September. All National Guard units will complete riot control and disaster assistance training during this year's annual 2-week training. All units must have their training complete by September 30th. Now, National Guard units will complete riot control. I see. My brother actually has a good friend of his who's actually in the National Guard in the US. We've actually been trying to contact her for a little while now, and she's not answering. So there seems to have been they seem to have been recalled to have this training tearing down. So that's definitely happening. We've got to try and get in touch with her and find out a bit more information, and we'll come back once we do. Okay, moving on. Daily testing of the emergency broadcast system to begin on September 25th and run through October 2nd. Could have been what that odd transmission was about, not too sure. Eastern-based Coast Guard units to perform massive group training, usually performed in the Gulf, in the Virginia and Delaware areas. Now, Delaware is in FEMA Region 3. This is a 10-day training mission to begin September 26th. Here we go. Moving on now, I like this one, at 10:17 a.m. on October 17th, so the 10th month, 17th day, 10:17 a.m., millions of people in 37 states, the District of Columbia, and portions of several countries are to expect to drop, cover, and hold on as they participate in the great U.S. shakeout earthquake drill. Now, we all know what happens when they do big major drills over there in the U.S., and other places around the world, for example. Yeah, so we'll have to keep an eye on that one, folks. This is what makes me think that it's a bit odd. All this stuff, all the preparation, a lot of preparation going towards that particular area in the US, and then they're having this big drill coming up. And all the other stuff seems to have been in place before the drill. Look, I'm not saying something's coming, but this is what makes me think there's something is. I really hope there isn't, for the record, but just in case there is something coming, you heard it here first. Moving on now, we've got US government spent $5 billion on the eve of the shutdown. There's a link to that one there for the source on that one. The US government cannot raise the debt ceiling and borrow more money while there is a government shutdown in place, as it is against a 143-year-old law. You can actually go and check out that article as well, so I find that interesting. There's all these talks happening now about more appropriations, you know, to get the government going and keep spending more money, and they're saying they want to borrow more money and raise the debt ceiling. However, technically now they can't actually do that. It's against the law for them to do that while they're in a shutdown. They can't borrow more money or raise the debt ceiling. What do you do? Interesting. Here we go. The U.S. will run out of borrowed money no later than October 17th, there's that date again, folks, according to U.S. Treasury Secretary Jacob Lew. There's a USA Today article on that one there as well. Governor Jay Inslee has proclaimed October as Washington State, that's not Washington, D.C., it's Washington State, Disaster Preparedness Month and NOAA Weather Radio Awareness Month. There's a link to that one there as well, so interesting that it's again in October. That's the last point there, folks. So feel free to leave your comments and any further pertinent information that can help add to the final picture of what lies ahead. There's a few comments. One chap has put two comments on that one there as well. He's got economic collapse, killing of the US dollar, World War III, New World Order, Comet Ison, Planet X, known about for the last three decades, and continued use of silent weapons in the Quiet War waged by elites on humanity. This is just comments by folks on the website. Bank bail-ins and seizing bank accounts, seizing pension funds and superannuation, stock market crash, bond bubble bursting, house bubble bursting, debt bubble bursting, false flag attacks, example 9/11, Gulf of Tonkin, burning of Reichstag, etc., cyber attacks, EMP, nuclear attacks, civil unrest, civil war, pandemic attacks, sea chemtrails, AIDS and Spanish flu. And here we go, and Johnny Howard keeps trying to go over there and hang out, and it's the only way you can get away. I thought that was a pretty interesting comment by someone called Dima9. That's some of those things he's got there is, you know, that's happening. Especially the bank bail-ins things. There's a lot of legislation being put in place to control that, to make sure that your deposits, your bank accounts will be seized to keep banks afloat. Don't you find that interesting as well? Wouldn't have happened, folks. I mean, look, go back to, I can't remember exactly what the year was, around the 30s, 1930s, maybe 1920s, in Australia. You know, we never had income tax. So, you know, how did everything get done prior to that? Well, of course, you know, the government actually was in control of printing our own money, debt-free money. We didn't have a central bank. Well, we sort of had a central bank, we had the Commonwealth Bank of Australia. Commonwealth Bank, that was sort of our reserve bank back in the day, I guess. Anyway, moving on, what else have we got happening? So there was another article I shared as well. Is Homeland Security preparing for the next Wall Street collapse? It kind of makes you think they are, of course. We've got that information coming out too with the G20. TOTT News is always good at putting some information out there for that one, which is great to see. Another Brisbane-based website, actually. Now, in terms of this article here, reblogged from Web of Debt. Let's go and have a look at this one. This sort of ties into the other one I've put up as well, folks. The reports are that the Department of Homeland Security is engaged in a massive covert military buildup. An article in the Associated Press in February confirmed an open purchase order by DHS for 1.6 billion rounds of ammunition. Many of that is actually a hollow point ammunition as well, folks, which is not used by the military. So why are they purchasing hollow point ammunition, 1.6 billion rounds of it? Anyway, good question there. According to an op-ed in Forbes, that's enough to sustain an Iraq-sized war for over 20 years. DHS has also acquired heavily armoured tanks, which have been roaming the streets. Evidently, somebody in government is expecting some serious civil unrest. The question is, why? Recently revealed statements by former UK Prime Minister Gordon Brown at the height of the banking crisis in 2008 give some insight into that question. An article on BBC News on September 21st drew from an explosive autobiography called Power Trip by Brown's spin doctor Damien McBride, who said the Prime Minister was worried that law and order could collapse during the financial crisis. McBride was quoted as saying, "If the banks are shutting their doors and the cash points aren't working and people go to Tesco, which is like a grocery chain, and their cards aren't being accepted, the whole thing will just explode. If you can't buy food or petrol or medicine for your kids, people will just start breaking the windows and helping themselves." He's actually right about that, folks. And as soon as people see that on TV, that's the end, because everyone will think that it's okay now. That's just what they will have to do. It'll be anarchy. That's what could happen tomorrow. So I find that pretty interesting that it's in Gordon Brown's book, all this information. So he's right about that, though. All right, well, jump in and do some news from some other websites here. Over to Conspiracy Oz. G'day to Mick Raven there. Hey, Mick. Make sure you check out conspiracyoz.com and check out his podcast as well, folks. Some headlines on Conspiracy Oz that have been shared. We've got Abbott set to sign highly secretive TPP agreement this month, which is in the Trans-Pacific Partnership. He's going to screw us over there. Make sure you check out that one. Where have we got here? We've got Aussies to compete with China for jobs, which is no doubt happening. Why Abbott should dump the free trade agreement. That's actually from the ABC, believe it or not. He's got my article posted on there as well. Thanks, Mick. Lawsuit claims UN forces introduced cholera epidemic to Haiti. It's amazing what you find out, folks, when you actually dig around the internet. And the truth is out there, folks. There's a lot of information. Actually, one other thing I came across too just recently, which I haven't written about. Well, I was going to. I haven't had time yet, though. Monsanto. Now, a lot of us know who Monsanto is. Now, just recently, I think yesterday, in fact, there was a march against Monsanto, another global march against Monsanto, and that took place in Brisbane as well. Unfortunately, I was not able to attend. I'm pretty sure TOTT News will have some information put up, which I'll reblog later once they put it up. There's already been on Facebook. If you check out Real News Australia official, I'm pretty sure it is on Facebook. I've reblogged some of the photos taken on the day. Now, Monsanto has recently purchased a company called, what are they called? I've got information here at my fingertips. Here we go. This is from businessinsider.com.au. Monsanto pays US $1 billion for big data company that monitors climate change. And that particular company doesn't just monitor climate change, actually. The Climate Corporation is what they're called. They're like an insurance company. So what they do is they sell insurance to big farms So say a farmer has a particular crop, say corn, wants to grow in a particular season, and he might say, oh, there could be, maybe there's a chance I could lose some of my yield or all of it due to storms or whatever, or hail or wind or pests or whatever it is, or it's too hot or too cold. They can actually go to climate change, this particular climate corporation, and purchase insurance for their crops, so that if something happens, then they get paid for by the insurance company for their whatever yield loss or whatever it is, whatever deal they've struck up. And that company's been in place, I think, since about 2007, 2008. Now, Monsanto has now recently purchased that company for $1 billion. So, interesting that obviously Monsanto is a big grain and seed and genetically engineering food company. They make chemicals and all that sort of stuff as well. They've patented seeds that are now aluminium resistant because of all the bloody spraying that's going on and dumping aluminium in the atmosphere. Why develop a seed that's resistant to aluminium, genetically modify it and make it resistant to aluminium if there isn't aluminium being sprayed on the around the atmosphere? It kind of backs up exactly what's the chemtrail guys are talking about. That's one of the things that's in the mix. So yeah, Monsanto's paying big dollars for this particular company. So they're going to control the insurance side of things too and gain more cash and squeeze it out of people that way, probably hold them hostage. Who knows? That's what they do. That was pretty interesting. What else have we got? So the march against Monsanto was actually yesterday too. Good to see. And well done to those folks who took part in that one. What else have we got going on? A couple of headlines here from InfoWars, which I thought was pretty quite interesting. You'll need a little bit of time on your hands to look at these videos. Some of them are around about an hour long. One of them is Missing Nuke Investigation Special Report. Top nuke commanders, Navy Vice Admiral Tim Giardina and Major General Michael Carey, terminated following exclusive high-level military intelligence over secret nuclear warheads transfer. And I saw some stuff about that a little while ago as well, about nukes going missing in the US, which is a little bit more concerning, considering there's all this build-up with major disasters happening. Another piece of the puzzle there, maybe? I don't know. I'll leave it with you, folks. Another headline here. Ron Paul warns of martial law and economic collapse. They've been warning about this sort of stuff for a while now, but interesting that there's more things coming out about it all around the same time. Another headline here. The morning after America's debt binge. Nice picture of Obama there. President Barack Obama is adamant that he will not be held hostage by the Republicans in the House of the Representatives, who are threatening not to raise the U.S. debt ceiling without some concessions on future spending on Obamacare. If the debt limit is not raised, allowing the Treasury Department to borrow more money, the federal government will default on some of the bills it owes in the next couple of weeks. Lots of commentators believe that such a default would have significant, if not devastating, downside economic effects. Well, that's obvious. Maybe so, but we should also want to consider the ways a relentlessly rising level of debt could damage our economic prospects. The debt ceiling for the United States is currently set at $16.7 trillion. That's just phenomenal. It'll never go down, folks. That will never, ever, ever be paid off. That was meant to be that way. It's indebted slavery is what it is. Indebted servitude. In 2000, the U.S. national debt stood at $5.7 trillion. The amount of the U.S. national debt is now roughly the same size as the annual output of the economy. Is this a problem? Of course it is. Yes, suggests recent research by numerous macroeconomists. There we go, got it out. Specifically, they find that a big public debt overhang likely slows down future economic growth for more than two decades. In other words, excessive national debt racked up will now make future Americans considerably poorer than they would have been otherwise. That's the whole plan for the entire thing. Take, 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 and you're left with little, 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 and prices rise and rise, and it costs more to buy things. Inflation, that's what's killing us, folks. Interest in inflation. Another headline, Maryland secession. Anti-government anger fuels breakaway bid. So the state of Maryland is looking to secede from the United States and become its independent national state, I guess. Interesting to see that coming out as well. So all this is in the headlines, folks, and this is what's happening in your world today. Of course, there's a lot more information out there. Just before we wrap up the show, I'd just like to get you folks to download a few podcasts and jump on the documentaries page and look at some documentaries on my website as well. But I'm actually going to include a podcast page or tie it into one of my other pages so that you can actually easily click on them and you'll see the archive of my podcasts. But jump on and download the James Corbett Report. Another good one, like I said earlier, is the Alan Watts Cutting Through the Matrix. Download Conspiracy Oz podcasts. And of course, Mr. Kraz and Garth have got their podcast as well, The Kraz Files. So make sure you check those out. They're all available on iTunes, folks, as is this one here. But it appears we've reached the end of general knowledge. I'm General Maddox for realnewsaustralia.com. We'll see you next time.